The book of Philemon. This little book, 25 verses long. You know, I'm reminded of the little statement, right? Dynamite comes in what? Small packages, okay? And here we have a little book, 25 verses long, but it's very powerful. It's very strengthening. It's very uplifting. And there's some transformational things here. It starts out with Paul writing a letter to the name that's on top of the book, to Philemon. He writes this letter. Philemon was a man who was well-to-do, and Philemon had a lot of household servants in his house, probably bond servants, and so he had a lot of different people working for him, and I don't know what type of business he did. Maybe he was a farmer. Maybe he had some type of business where he employed a lot of people, so he had all these different people working for him, but he was well-to-do, and Philemon was a Christian, and he was in the city of Colossae. That's where he lives. Now, we have a book in the Bible, the book of Colossians, don't we? And Philemon went to the church there in Colossae. He was very instrumental in working in the church there in Colossae. Not just an average Christian. Philemon was an exemplary Christian. Now, look at the verse we read. We look at verse numbers 1 through 6. Let's look at verse 1 again. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. You know, that's an important little statement there. We'll talk about that. A fellow laborer. You know, there are some folks who they're saved, and the Bible says, yet so as by fire. And that's the only thing they do is they're not going to hell. And that's okay, but God didn't save us just so we wouldn't go to hell. God didn't save us for us. God saved them for himself. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse number 10. We're pretty good at verse 8 and 9. I'm saved by grace through faith, in faith in Christ alone. Well, yes, but why are we saved? Verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created unto good works. We're supposed to be busy serving God. And so if all it was God's going to take us to heaven when we die, can you imagine? We get saved and all of a sudden, whoosh, so you go lead somebody to Christ, like, hey, where'd he go? He's gone. Hopefully you're saved already. You wouldn't be here either, right? Where'd he go? And he went to heaven. He got raptured because he's not going to be useful anyway. He's not going to be a fellow laborer, but we're supposed to be fellow laborers. You know, when I labor, I get tired. When I labor, I'm worn out. When I labor, I find that I exerted a lot of energy. And, you know, that's the way it ought to be, working for God. We ought to be a laborer, that we exert a lot of energy. I like that story tonight. Thank you for that biography. I love these little biographies. D.L. Moody, he didn't have any prospects in his Sunday school class, so he went out and found some. How many did he have the first week? 11? 20? 11. He says, okay, they give him an empty room. All right, here's a build a Sunday school class. And he used to go out, and they'd call these kids in Chicago street urchins. And he'd go out, and he'd find the street urchins that nobody else wanted. And I read one story where he went into a house. Now, you could do this back in the 1800s. It probably wouldn't work now. He went into the house. He knew there were some kids in there, and they were ducking and dodging him, bringing them to Sunday school. So he went into the house. They were under the bed. He grabbed them, and he pulled them out from under the bed, and he said, you're going to Sunday school. And he put them on a wagon out in the front and brought the wagon to church with these kids. And, you know, I've got pictures in my office of these kids that he brought. They were just kind of rough and tumble. You know, they had the different hats on and everything. And it just kind of brings you back to the day. But laboring. So here is Philemon. And he wasn't just a Christian who filled up space and took up time. He was a Christian who did something for God. And here's a little phrase that you can learn from down on the farm. When you become meatable, you become feedable. You know, when there's not much grain, I sat with the farmer this afternoon. And I said, how are the prices of grain? And he said, oh yeah, they're pretty high. Chicken feed is still pretty cheap because we grow our own corn. But you see, where that grain comes from, it comes from Ukraine, right? Grain from Ukraine. And it's gone up a lot of increase. And so when it comes to choice, is the farmer, he's got one sack of grain. Is he going to feed the cow or is he going to feed the cat? Yeah, I thought so too. I love that farmer. Feed the cat to the cow, right? He's going to feed the cow. Why? Because the cow puts meat on the table. The cat puts meow. I thank you for the card too, by the way. Bill, that was an awesome card. Love those birthday cards with cats on them. And precious, aren't they? And So when you become meetable, so when you become where you produce something for God, you know what God says? When you open up your Bible, God says, I'm going to feed you. Kind of like that little bird, right? I'm going to feed you because you're putting on mileage for me. So I want God to feed me his word. And I just don't want to read his word and go, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Bless mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and all the missionaries all around the world. Amen. God says, you know what? I don't think I'm going to feed you because you make me sick. You make me nauseous. You're just kind of going through the motions. So I want to get busy for God. I want to do something for God. I want a job for God. A fellow laborer. Okay, that's not verse 2, but let's get to verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia. Now, this is probably Philemon's wife. Okay? And Archippus. And that was probably his son, who more than likely was the pastor of the church. Our fellow soldier, there's a good one. Not only are we fellow laborers, but we're fellow soldiers. And our enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible, we sing that song, right? Onward, Christian soldiers. Paul said, we are a chosen soldier. We are chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the church in thy house. I like that. They had a church in their house. Well, you know, if you're like Dale Moody building a Sunday school class and you start building this church in your house, pretty soon you're going to have to get a bigger house, right? I mean, that's what happened. And the church just grew. And then have it at somebody else's house, right? Have it at a couple houses. And just grew. And so here he is, Philemon, an exemplary Christian, a busy man, a fellow laborer. His son is a fellow soldier. A church is in their house. Now, it seemed that Paul probably led him to Christ, and Philemon owed him for his salvation. Look at verse number 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, this letter. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. So he said, Philemon, you owe me. You owe me big time. He probably led him to Christ. Okay, let's read the verses we didn't read. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I run unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I was reading, a friend wrote a little comment, and he says, here are the basic nuts and bolts of all of Paul's epistles. He greets the church, grace, mercy, grace, and peace be unto you. Do the right thing. And say hi to Timothy, say hi to this person, amen. And it's pretty kind of funny. We know they're a little bit deeper than that, of course. Now, here we have Paul perhaps won Philemon to Christ. And Paul writes this letter, like many of his other letters, from prison. Now, there are a lot of lessons we can learn. You know, you can learn a lot of lessons. I mentioned it this morning a little bit. You can learn a lot of lessons in the school of affliction that you can't learn anywhere else. I don't want to go to the school of affliction, but it's a school that we all go to once in a while, or you're headed there someday. You can learn things no other way. Affliction brings a specialty training that goodness cannot offer. Affliction brings specialty training that goodness has no experience available to teach. Each person in the Epistle of Philemon teaches us valuable lessons. We're going to look at these three main characters. Paul, first of all. Paul How does he describe himself? Comes right out of the box. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, doesn't he? A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not just a prisoner. He could have just said, Paul, a prisoner. We get the idea, right? But he said, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that wasn't a negative thing. He wasn't saying, I've been following Christ, and look what happened. I got put in prison. He was saying, no, I'm willing to be in prison for Jesus Christ. So it was a positive thing. Why is he in prison? He's in prison for preaching the gospel again. You know, you go to a town and you check out the restaurants or you check out the sites. Paul would go check out the prison. And he would say, well, I know I'll be here pretty soon. So hopefully they have good accommodations and hopefully, they have good food. Of course not. But he'd go to prison a lot of times where he went for preaching the gospel. Pretty tough environment. Now, while he's in prison, what is he doing? He is encouraging others while he's in prison. He says, my fellow laborers. He mentions Philemon's family in verse number 2. He calls them fellow soldiers. How'd you like to be a fellow laborer with Paul the apostle? Boy, you better be a hard worker, right? That guy never stopped. Day and night with tears. He was always busy. He was always going somewhere. He was always doing something. There was always a lot of activity around Paul. And he said, fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, the church that was in their house. He continued to be a conduit for God's grace and God's peace. He starts his epistle, as he did most of the time, with grace and peace. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can't have any peace unless you first find the grace of God. All the epistles that Paul starts this way, he always starts with grace and peace. Sometimes in the middle, he throws in mercy. Grace, mercy, and peace. But it always starts with grace. People say, I don't have any peace in my life. Well, you need the grace of God to give you the Prince of Peace. You can't have it without him. So grace comes first. So he continues to be a conduit for God's grace and God's peace, even in prison. Notice verse number 4. What does he say? I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He is thankful. Where is he? In prison. Why is he there? Jesus Christ. And yet he says, I'm thankful. Wow. I don't know if I could do that. I'm glad somebody could. I'm glad somebody's a good example. They set the standard really high. He said, I'm thankful while I'm in prison. And here we find him praying for others. He said, Philemon, I'm praying for you, making mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 6. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He is commending others for their love and for their faith. He is building up the faith of others. He is a source of encouragement. Don't you want to be a source of encouragement? Boy, it doesn't take much to tell somebody, I'm praying for you. And they really do it, right? I mean, it's easy to say that, right? That's cheap if we're not doing it, right? Hey, I'm praying for you. And we never pray. But pray for the person. Then say, I'm praying for you, right? Or, hey, I just want to be encouragement to you. I heard of your faith. And, you know, sometimes need that. Some people need that. A little encouragement goes a long way. He's letting Philemon know in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He's letting Philemon know that Philemon has been a source of refreshing. Wouldn't it be good to be a source of refreshing? Wouldn't it be good to be a source of encouragement to other people? You know, a lot of times we're a source of drawing down. We're a source of plugging into somebody, aren't we? We're a source of taking, because that's our human nature. Let's try to be a source of giving. Who can I encourage today? I sat with a man the other day, and he told me that every night he evaluates his life and his day. And every night he sits down and he says, okay, how did I come across to the people that I met today? And he does a little checklist. Could I have had a better interaction with so-and-so? And then he says, what am I going to do different tomorrow? Well, that was encouraging. And he takes an evaluation of his life every day. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Some of us wouldn't want to go out of the house. Don't go out of the house. I won't have to do that today. All right, don't do that. Let's just try to help people. All right? He's letting Philemon know you've been an encouragement. In verse number 9 and 10, he begs for a favor. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. It's not just, hey, I'm asking you. It's I'm begging you. Being such an one as Paul the aged, he kind of puts it on thick. He says, look, I'm an old man. I've been around the block, and I'm asking you for a favor. I'm going to go to that well, and I'm going to draw out a bucketful. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he mentions that again, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay, so that brings us to the second person. What's his name? Onesimus. Why don't people name their kids Onesimus? I don't know. It's hard to pronounce. It starts with a vowel. Onesimus. So here is Onesimus, a servant, a bondservant of Philemon. Onesimus used to serve in Philemon's house. That's why Paul writes a letter to Philemon. He says, Philemon, I am a cellmate with your former employee. And your former employee is not here a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He is a prisoner because he probably ripped off Philemon. He probably stole something that Philemon had, and now he was prosecuted, and he was put in prison, and Paul ends up in the same prison with Onesimus. He's a cellmate. Paul sends the letter to Philemon in Colossae, probably Tychicus. In Colossians chapter 4, verse number 7, he's probably the mailman. The letter is about Onesimus. Hey, can I tell you something happened to Onesimus in prison? Here he was. Paul the Apostle is his cellmate. Look, you're not going to have Paul the Apostle be your cellmate and not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here he was in prison. Hey, you got a new cellmate. What's your name, pal? Onesimus. That's nice to meet you. I'm Paul. Saul of Tarshish. That would have shook him up a little bit, right? I'm Paul. And Paul, it's nice to meet you. Hey, where are you from, Onesimus? Oh, I'm from Colossae. Oh, I have a friend in Colossae. Really? What's his name? Philemon. Oh, that's why I'm here. I stole from Philemon. You what? I stole from Philemon. Well, he could have said, well, I'm not talking to you anymore. But you know what he did? He said, hey, let me tell you about somebody who can forgive you of your sin. Verse number 10. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. He wasn't his physical son. He's talking about his son in the faith, just like Timothy was his son in the faith. For my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He was born again right there in that prison. And Paul was the one who led him to Jesus Christ. So here's Paul in prison for preaching the gospel. He doesn't stop preaching the gospel. Well, that happened in Acts chapter 16. He's in prison. What does he do at midnight? He sings. What does he do at midnight? He says praises. What does he do at midnight? God opens up the jail and he leads the jailer to Christ and his family to Christ. What do you do at midnight? What do I do at midnight? Sometimes we complain and people hear us. Sometimes we get on a negative, boy, if that's the kind of God that I serve, then I'm not going to serve him anymore. God might try to be using you to lead somebody to him in your midnight, but you're going to have to go through it. And so here he is, leading Onesimus to Christ. He's begotten in his bonds. Paul was busy for the Lord, even in prison. You know, the book of Romans is in our Bible. Because Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And while he's under house arrest, he's leading people to Christ everywhere he has an opportunity. As a matter of fact, it says this in Philippians 4, verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Caesar's household. Listen, Caesar's household wasn't one for really listening to the gospel. But here's Paul. He's under house arrest. Hey, who's my guard today? Oh, what's a good Italian name? Guido. Here's Guido. And that's not offensive, is it? And here's Guido. Hey, Guido, we're going to be together the next 8 hours. Hey, I want you to meet somebody. What do you mean? There's nobody else here. Oh, no, he's here. We're two, one, two, or three are gathered together. He said he's in the midst. What are you talking about? You're crazy. Hey, let me tell you about my best friend. What do you got, imaginary friends? No, it's Jesus Christ. Oh, I heard about him. Yeah, didn't one of our soldiers nail him to a cross in Jerusalem? Yeah. And I remember the whole group of them was guarding the tomb one day, and then they went unconscious or something, and the earth was quaking, and then his body was gone, and then we don't know. We heard he went back to heaven. What happened? Well, let me tell you, like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And so he leads the guy to Christ. And this guy works for Caesar. And then they change shifts again, and he's got another one. He's like, man, I could do this around the clock. God's just bringing me fresh people to lead to Christ. It's fantastic. I got a jail ministry from the inside out. And so he's leading the next one to Christ. And they're talking. Now he's having a Bible study. He gets chained to the guards, right? Hey, you can't go anywhere. You're stuck with me. I don't know if they took straws. Like, I don't know if, I don't want Paul. Put me with, you know, Charles Manson. Give me somebody else. Don't give me Paul. Give me the really, really bad guy. And he won't talk to me about Jesus. And people are getting saved. He says, Caesar's household. And that's why we have the book of Romans. Because Paul said, I'm in prison. Now I'm going to make the best of the opportunity that the Lord Jesus can give me. And I'm going to tell people about Christ while I'm here. Paul said this. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. Don't lose your place there. It took you half an hour to find Philemon, all right? Don't lose it. Philippians 1, verse number 12. Philippians 1:12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, and those weren't only good things, they were bad things. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Okay? Semicolon. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He said, the things that happened to me, the fallout, they've fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Hey, what does your fallout create? What does bad stuff that comes into your life, what does it create? For Paul, it created an opportunity to preach the gospel. Problems, I'm going to preach the gospel. Affliction, I'm going to preach the gospel. Lies, I'm going to preach the gospel. Tumult, chaos, riots, stonings. He says, I'm going to preach the gospel. Everything that happens to me, there was no difference. Sun is shining, I'm going to preach the gospel. Snow is falling, I'm going to preach the gospel. Whatever happened. Now, it's interesting. Because he says in verse number 11, Philemon, chapter 27, verse 11. That was funny. Which in time past, Onesimus, I've begotten him in my bonds. Philemon, he was in time past to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Onesimus became profitable. Hey, can I tell you something? You look at that name, Onesimus, and you go, that is a really crazy name. You know the name Onesimus means profitable? That's what his name means. But he used to be unprofitable. How did he become profitable? Salvation in Christ. Being in prison with Paul, Onesimus became profitable. It was all because, and the possibility was because of the gospel and salvation. Jesus Christ can take an unprofitable thief. Now look at verse 13. Paul said of Onesimus, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He said, this guy is in such a place now, he's been discipling this guy. And he said, now Onesimus is an encouragement to me. He's ministering to me while I'm here in prison. Boy, that's encouraging. An unprofitable man, a thief, becomes an encouragement to probably the greatest Christian in the Bible. Well, I have an idea. If that can happen to Onesimus, that can happen to anybody. Because Onesimus got saved in jail. Onesimus got saved in prison. Onesimus wasn't there for preaching Christ. An ex-con. Oh, look at this. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. This is so good, it's even okay if you can't find Philemon again. Colossians chapter 4. So God used Paul to write the letter to the church of Colossae, right? To the people in Colossae. Look what he says. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 9. With who? Onesimus. A what? Faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Hey, guess what Onesimus did when he got out of jail? He went back home, and the letter already went before him. And Philemon said, Onesimus, I'm going to receive you as if you were Paul, my good friend, the one that I owe a great debt to. I'm going to receive you as a brother beloved. And we're going to welcome you into the church of Colossae. And the Bible says that a faithful and beloved brother was made of this ex-con. Isn't that encouraging? A man who is broken, and the gospel made him whole. Jesus Christ can take a church, this group of believers, and receive Onesimus and love Onesimus. Jesus Christ can take a heart that is desperately wicked and make it clean. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Isaiah 1, verse 18. So we see Paul. He's in prison for preaching. But he doesn't let his circumstances dictate his happiness. And he's reaching out. He's encouraging. He's helping. He's winning people to Christ. We see Onesimus, an unprofitable servant. And now he becomes profitable through the gospel and through the discipleship of a godly man. Let's look at Philemon. Paul asked him to receive Onesimus as if he was himself. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Verse 17, if thou count me therefore partner, receive him as myself. Hey, Philemon, when you get this letter, Onesimus is coming. He's going to get out of jail pretty soon. And when he comes knocking at your door, don't treat him like you treated him when he left in shackles. And don't treat him like you treated him when he had to face his punishment for the wrong that he did. He's different. Treat him like it was Paul. What a different greeting. I mean, Onesimus, you keep one eye on Onesimus. Hey, wife, where's the silverware? Watch out, Onesimus is here. Where's the car keys for the chariot? Oh, hey, I got a candy cane in my pocket. Look at that. You see that? It's awesome. If you're really good and you're quiet, I'll give you a candy cane. Okay. Now, verse number 16. Paul asked Philemon to receive Onesimus, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. And how long did he say to receive him? Verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldst receive him forever. He said, you know, we've got a special relationship that we need to accommodate here. Now, here's the beautiful picture of our salvation. Let's pull all these different people together. Here's a beautiful picture of our salvation. We have offended a righteous and a holy God, just like Onesimus offended Philemon and stole from his master. We've offended a righteous and a holy God, and he has every right to sentence us to pay for our sins. Onesimus had to pay for his crime, and he went to prison. Enter the mediator. Paul was the mediator, wasn't he? Paul said, I'm going to write a letter to Philemon. We have a book in our Bible, 25 verses long, and it's about a one who offended someone else. And the reason that Onesimus was reconciled to Philemon was because Paul mediated, and he said, listen, I want you to receive him as myself. You owe me a favor, okay? Receive this man because he is begotten. The mediator is Jesus Christ, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5. Without Paul, Onesimus would have never been restored to Philemon. And without Jesus Christ, you and I will never be restored to God and go to heaven. But because of Jesus Christ, we receive what Philemon received, and that was we are received to God as if we were Jesus Christ. Wow. We are received to God as a brother beloved, and we are received to God forever. Why? Because of one mediator, Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good news. Look at verse number 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Hey, do you get the idea? That if there's any charge that's left because of our sins, that Jesus Christ pays it? Because he paid for all of our sins. We look at it and say, well, all my past sins, all my present sins, but what about my future sins? You know, all of our sins were in the future when Christ died. Every one of them. Every sin, it's all a future sin. So we have time and space. If we've wronged him or we owe him anything, guess whose account it's going on? Christ's account. Now, don't charge that account up. We ought not do that because sin has a punishment. If you sin, you're going to, if I cut my leg off, God's not going to sprout me another one. He's going to say, all right, that was dumb. Now walk around with the one less leg. There is a wage of sin for a Christian. It'll never send you to hell, but there's still a punishment in this world. God will chasten his children. A beautiful picture. Now, Paul says this, verse number 21. I kind of put it like this. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul said, Philemon, I know when you receive Onesimus, you're going to receive him as myself. You're going to receive him as a brother beloved. You're going to receive him forever. And then you're going to go overboard. You're going to do all kinds of things that I can't even think of because you are going to do more than I say. Did you see that? Verse 21. You know, God's done more than we can imagine for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, that's today, world without end, amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, more than I say. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Romans 8, verse 32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 31. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What has God provided for you and for me? Well, he's provided everything for us and more than I say. More than I say. You can't even begin to imagine what heaven's going to be like. If we even knew all the things that Jesus did while he was here on this earth, the Bible says, I suppose the world could not contain the volume of the books that would be written. In Philemon, we learn the power of the gospel through Onesimus, a soul that is saved. Through Philemon, we learn the power of the gospel through a life that is transformed. Here's a man who is unprofitable, and now he's profitable, and the only difference is Jesus Christ. Through Philemon, we learn the purpose of our trials through Paul. How many of you ladies like jewelry? Yay, okay. How many really like jewelry a lot? Okay, awesome, great. That's why they have credit cards. Okay, just kidding. We're going to Financial Peace University. I saw your wife raise her hand, Brother Jackson. I'll try to help you out. Okay. How many of you like pearls? Okay, pearls are nice, right? What month is pearl? June, really? Wow. I didn't know that. Pearls come because an oyster gets a grain of sand under its tongue, right? It's all tongue. And it encapsulates it with what the pearl is made out of. And when they crack that thing open, it's all because of an irritation, right? You get a pearl because an oyster got irritated. And he encapsulated that irritation. And the longer it irritated them, the bigger the pearl got, right? I mean, some of those pearls are just ugly. They are, but they're very valuable and ugly. But it's because of an irritation. It produces something very valuable. You know what? Let the irritations in your life produce a pearl instead of just a rock. You can have a rock, a piece of sand, or you can have a pearl. It's your choice. Hey, if you're just keep coating that thing with God and his provision. Keep giving that thing to the Lord. Lord, this thing irritates me. And God says, okay, good, I'm gonna put some grace on that thing. And we're going to make a pearl out of it. The purpose of our trials is to get the gospel to others. Listen, some people have done some amazing things with trials. People have a child who is born with a complicated, you know, situation from birth, a disease, right? And you know what they do? They start a charity. And they help children with that disease. And they raise millions and billions of dollars, don't they? I mean, look, you can just look up. If you just put a thing out there, who can I donate money to, right? You'll get all kinds of phone calls. And because everybody has a charity, and that's a good thing. Tragedy comes, okay? Mothers against drunk driving. What happened? Somebody lost a child to a drunk driver. And they said, we want to prevent someone else's child from dying the same way. And so they have chapters, and they meet all around the country, and they try to get the word out. Listen, be careful. Don't do this. So don't make this happen to somebody, okay? Now, all these different trials, somebody gets cancer, right? And so they start a fund, you know, the Jimmy Fund, right? And the Red Sox get in on it, right? And then, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation. All these things that do good works and help people. And we get involved in those things, and we should. But think about this. Think about your trials and tribulations. They may have accomplished much, but now let's think about the gospel. Paul said, the things that have happened unto me, Paul could have started all kind of foundations. The shipwreck foundation, right? The stoning foundation, the beating foundation, the prison rights foundation. He could have started all kinds of them. It wouldn't be bad if somebody did all those things. But you know what he started? He started preaching the gospel. And so we can do all those other things and neglect the gospel. And God says, you know, you've got the ear of a lot of people. Would you use it for the gospel? You've got the hearts of a lot of people. Listen, you get to talk to people through heartache that you'll reach no other way. And their hearts are open and they're looking for an answer. They're looking for something real. It's a great opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then we have in the book of Philemon, the forgiveness of a sinner through Onesimus. And the church responded, and here he is, a faithful brother, one of you in the church. Boy, that's a great thing.